Okay, let's go back to the planetarium with Dr. Martin and pick up the story. So you're watching the planetarium, those amazing devices. I forget what there's a name for them. What are they called? Do you remember?
Well, it's a Zeiss instrument. They do have, that's the one that we use down there. That's been around for around 50 years, various models of them. But they do have computer types now, which are much more sophisticated in some ways than the old ones. However, whatever, you can still see a spectacular show, even with the older Zeiss planetarium instruments.
Yep. All right, so you saw all of these celestial events, which were clearly bizarre to the people back then, and the timing was perfect.
It was perfect. Significant, because most of the conjunctions, there were 8 major conjunctions, Jeff, of the planet Jupiter. I am saying the planet Jupiter is the star, and a planet could be considered a star. I mean, the same word in Greek.
Of course, sure. Well, the astrologers always talk about...
I know that they are different today, but it was the planet Jupiter. That was the planet that led the wise men to Jerusalem and then on down to Bethlehem. That planet had 8 major conjunctions with other stars, particularly Regulus, the king star, and Venus. Three conjunctions with Venus, very close, while they were in Leo, the lion. And this is why it's very important to realize is the position of these stellar occasions that make it very significant. But even besides that, though, what a person, an ordinary person that would not know anything about astronomy, but looked up into the sky at that time, and particularly if they would have seen that 17th of June display in 3 BC, 2 BC, I beg your pardon, it would have been spectacular indeed, about 38 degrees above the southwestern horizon, and that would have been seen by the naked eye as one gigantic star about twice as big as Jupiter would normally be. It would have been majestic indeed.
Well, that would have done it.
It would have. And from then on, just following it from there on down to the time that the Magi went to Bethlehem. You see, when they went to Bethlehem, Jesus was, that wasn't for the birth. The nativity, that took place in 3 BC, I show in my book, but the Magi did not get to Jerusalem and down to Bethlehem until the winter solstice, and they were very keen on the winter solstice, being of pagan origin themselves.
Right.
And
so how old
there in 2 BC at the winter solstice, Jesus would have been 15 months old.
Okay, that's what my question was. Almost a year
and
old.
There's an early gospel called the Gospel of the Egyptians, and it mentions, though that is not an inspired work, it does show some originality going back to the 3rd century A.D., and in there Jesus is described as a little toddler at the time the Magi gave their gifts to him, not as an infant at all.
What do we know about the actual history of the time in which Jesus was born? There are people, of course, out on the stump writing books and so forth who claim that Jesus didn't exist. He was a composite figure of ancient historical myth that goes back through many societies and has been reenacted over and over again throughout the millennia. That draws a lot of ire and anger from people.
Yes.
With respect to your scholarship of the period, and the recording of the events of those days, in those areas, in those times, how strong is the body of actual written knowledge to validate and give you clues in which you can construct your own version of when Christ was born?
I am more convinced today than I was 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 5 years ago, or when I first began.
Yeah.
In fact, I am certain that the historical records, particularly those in the New Testament, are revealing absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
I have no way, or nor do you or any of us, of demonstrating them in a pragmatic way in front of a person. We all know that. But there are many types of evidences, historical evidences, not concentrated in just one avenue, but in several, that they overlap one another to such a consistency and, and also with such rapidity that there is, can be no question that there was a personality by the name of Jesus Christ and that he lived and died at the time that the New Testament said he did. I have no doubt whatsoever that that is the case. However, there have been many counterfeits out there, as you might well imagine, even in the first century. And people noted that there were many stories coming out of India, coming out of Parthia, and even in ancient Rome, that seem to parallel some of the things associated with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I've written material on this to explain why it would take another program, I think, to go into to, to mention many of these factors. But on the other hand, the legitimate truth of Jesus being a viable individual, and even theologically, I would accept the Bible to be without doubt.
What about the Roman records of the time that Pilate and all the rest? Most records.
Most of them have disappeared. We are very thankful to have that gentleman I've been talking about, Josephus. You know, he his records have come down and they're very good. But on the other hand, the New Testament documents themselves are still very reliable. Notice the matter of Jesus saying that the temple stones would all be taken down. Now, that was written, let's say, by Luke in 60 A.D., or let's say 70 A.D., or let's say even after the war was over, and that what he is giving there is nothing more than, let's say the prophecy was uttered later, and it wasn't the prophecy of Jesus, but someone made it up.
Got it.
He would still have to be describing the situation that was there. You see the point? In 80 or 90 A.D., or else anyone reading the document would say this man is a madman. Those documents were written between 60 A.D. and 100 A.D., and very contemporary as far as other historical documents are
concerned. Like writing in our time about World War II.
Well, of course. And there are still numerous people around, like I'm 68 years of age. I know World War II very well.
Of course.
And there would have been numerous people around. But the New Testament was accepted as a divine book of 27 books very early in the second century. We know that for a fact. And I would take it that they were, that the documents were written earlier on and finally came together into a canon of books by around the beginning of the second century.
Now, you have another book, and Dr. Martin has a number of books, and you can see them on his website. Again, it's, if you're not online now and you can't click on the link right below his name, just go to ASKELM. All of you folks out there who are interested in this will not want to miss this website. askelm.com, and look at the books by Dr. Ernest L. Martin. Secrets of
Golgotha.
That's what I was going to say.
It's
Forgotten History of Christ's Crucifixion. Here's another book that is extraordinary, 475 pages. By the way, The Star That Astonished the World sold well over 30,000 copies now, and I have a hunch that the Temples of Jerusalem for God is going to equal that at least.
Well, I hope so. The information in there certainly needs to get out to the world, and I am thankful, that Jeff, that you are one of the main people right at the first getting it out there.
Well,
so my thanks goes to you.
Sure, it's my pleasure. I you need and deserve great recognition for all the years you put into this, and I think this book is a fitting, a momentary crown to your work, and goodness knows what comes next. You've got another book that sold a lot of copies called Bible Secrets That Christians Do Not Know.
Yes, that is a very popular one.
That is. That's in most Christian bookstores. It's commonly available, but it's most commonly available right through the P.O. box I've given out. Let me give that one more time for everyone now, if I can. It's ASK, real simple, P.O. Box 25,000. How'd you get that P.O. Box number?
I was very fortunate.
Yes, divine intervention.
The only number that they didn't issue there at that post office.
Well,
but
again,
I would take it.
It was meant to be. P.O. Box 25,000, Portland, Oregon 97298. All right, Bible secrets that Christians do not know. Give us a couple of teasers on that one.
Well, for example, I explained that when Moses went up to the Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of stone were carved out, and then God, with his own hand, wrote the Ten Commandments. That's very good, but if you will read very carefully, you will find that those two stones were written on the front side and also the back side.
Ah.
Not just the front side, but the back side. And, get this, Jeff, it says it as clear as anything in the Scripture, in the Hebrew, of course, in the English, that those stones were small enough, both of them could be held in one hand. Moses could hold them both in one hand.
That's some small...
And slates, the small slates, no more than 4 or 5 inches wide, and written on both sides. Now, to remember the Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments, I can remember going to Universal Studio and seeing the rubber commandments, that's what they were, that Charlton Heston brought down from the Mount. He had to carry these huge stones that obviously no human could possibly carry. The only thing is, those stones on which the Ten Commandments were written were just real small tablets, smaller than a small book.
God was very efficient. He also had wonderfully economical handwriting.
Yes, he did.
Yes. And never underestimate Chuck Heston to do anything.
I understand that.
That's the other issue. All right, we just have about a minute left, Dr. Martin. Would you like to leave us with anything? We have about 30 seconds is all now. So.
Well, I want to thank you again and your partners, your audience for listening to this. Please check into my website, www.askelm.com. We have lots of free stuff there for you. All the books are also mentioned, and our post office address, once more, is Post Office Box 25,000, Portland, Oregon, 97298. Thank you and good evening.
Thank you, Dr. Martin. All right, so there's a very interesting look at history through the eyes of a truly great scholar, and he's done a lot of work on this. And his work, the ramifications of which may be around for a long time to come. We shall see. Tomorrow night on Election Eve, Carl Limbacher of Newsmax.com will be here, and our great friend John Hogue, the world's foremost authority on Nostradamus and other great prophets, will be here to give us his prophetic view of the election and what we might expect. It'll be a little bit of fun tomorrow night. And Tuesday, George Feiler is here. Jeffrey Steinberg is here from the Executive Intelligence Review. And Al Cuppet, Mr. C, will be here on Election Day evening. So have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.